Okay, everybody, we'll call the meeting to order. Thank you for attending today's meeting of the Commission on Aging for Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. Has everybody had a chance to review the agenda?
Yes.
May I have a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
All in favor? Excellent. And now review of the minutes from the August 21st meeting.
Move for approval.
We had one change suggestion in the work session, which is on page 5, to remove the last sentence under the comment about electric bikes.
Yes.
I would make a friendly motion amendment to make that change to the minutes and then second Larry's motion.
Okay, so Larry has moved. You guys are testing my Robert's rules here on meeting two for me. All right. So Larry has moved to approve the meeting notes. Chuck has moved to make an amendment removing the last line from page 5 under about electric bikes. Mm-hmm. We do have notes in our work session meetings about specifically that language. And we have a second for approving that amendment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now with that amendment, may I have a second for Larry's motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent. Good work, team.
Yay.
Well done, Temple.
All right. So now Linda O'Leary with a report from the Area Agency on Aging and Disabilities of Southwest Washington.
All right. Thank you. The meeting was held on September 7th. 2018, and it revolved around two presentations of two new programs and services to the citizens of Clark County. The first was Bridgeview Resource Center, and it was presented by Jan Wickert, Executive Director, and the new center is designed to provide a centralized hub for low-income families throughout Clark County to promote self-reliance and family stability. The center is located at 505 Omaha Way. Not quite open yet, though. This building was planned with over 30 local partners in mind and is designed with a mix of offices, informal counseling areas, interview areas, large conference room, a large teaching kitchen, and is planned to open December 2018. And the second new program is Rainier Springs, and it was presented by the Larissa Klein, COO. And this facility is a new in and outpatient for adults and families struggling with mental behavior or substance abuse issues, including addiction, depression, and mood disorder, anxiety disorders, bipolar, PTSD, ADHD, and co-occurring disorders. They will provide levels of care to 18-year-old and above, including inpatient, psychiatric treatment, substance abuse rehabilitation, dual diagnosis, partial hospital program, and intensive outpatient program. And the facility will be a 24/7, and it plans to open within the next 2 months and is located on the Legacy Hospital campus in Salmon Creek. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Okay, and now for our main presentation, we're going to talk about designing walkable communities. And with our study on transportation this year as our focus for the Commission on Aging, our goal is to increase mobility options for older adults, and we were interested in hearing how the city of Tigard is doing in working to become the most walkable community in the Pacific Northwest and what we can learn from their adventures doing that and some of the challenges and solutions they've come up with. So we're going to hear from Gary Pagenstecker, and I hope I am pronouncing your name at least close. Gary has over 20 years of planning experience, including 5 years at the Columbia River Gorge Commission, implementing the National Scenic Area Act, and 14 years with the City of Tigard Community Development Department. He's a project planner and urban designer and the city's urban design team lead for TriMet's Southwest Corridor Light Rail Transit Project. Gary is involved in his lifelong community of Portland, Oregon, and most recently he served on the Friends of Tryon Creek Board of Directors for 10 years. We thank Gary for coming and joining us and making the trek across the river at the best time of day to be anywhere near the I-5 crossing. So thank you, Gary, and welcome.
Let me test the mic here. If I speak like this, is it picking up just fine? Everyone can hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay, good. Well, thank you for inviting me. It's an honor to be here with the Commission on Aging for Clark County. What I just handed out was a summary of Tigard's vision and strategic plan to become the most walkable city in the Northwest. On the first page, this page is basically the brief history, which began in 2012 and with an adoption by the council in 2014 of the vision and strategic plan. And the plan is in effect now in a time horizon to 2034. And on the back side are the four goals that are listed that comprise the plan. They include facilitate walking connections to develop an identity, ensure development advances the vision, engage the community through dynamic communication, and fund the vision while maintaining core services. So you see it's got a four-legged stool, and my presentation will revolve around this slideshow, and some of each of those things will come up, and you may have questions more specifically about each of them, so I'm not wanting to anticipate what those might be. I'll just give the presentation, and we can come back to it. So Tigard's strategic plan. I call it the strategic plan because there are many strategic plans, but for the city of Tigard, this is our strategic plan. It's new, feels new. It feels so new that we've already bumped up against the problems, and we worry about its success. And it's a good time, really, to be talking about this plan and whether or not it can translate to other communities. The vision, the most walkable community in the Pacific Northwest, where people of all ages and abilities enjoy healthy and interconnected lives. So there's a hyperbolic statement in there, which has become a little troubling. The most walkable people, you know, that fixes in their mind and they go, oh, come on, it's Tigard. I mean, it's not unlike Clark County cities. You know, we're very suburban oriented. And City of Tigard wasn't incorporated until 1961. It was born of the auto-centric urban form. So in saying we want to be the most, our aspiration is to be the most walkable community, it is truly an aspiration, and we are starting at the very bottom. So we have much to do, but I want to share some things that we are doing to accomplish this. And this plan was adopted wholeheartedly with lots of public engagement in 2014, excuse the typo. The goals I just went over with you. Implementation, I have this organized in terms of transportation planning, downtown revitalization, Tigard Triangle, and safe routes to schools. The invitation came with the expectation to talk about Tigard Triangle in particular. That is a quite strong example of how we expect to be the most walkable city, at least for that portion of it in the triangle. Transportation planning. These are our foundational planning documents, beginning with the ubiquitous transportation system plan, the TSP, which most communities have. It's a 2035 document, and it lays out how we see our city growing, classifications of streets and trails. And the other documents are sort of subsets of that, Trails Master Plan in the upper right-hand corner and the Fano Creek Trail Master Plan. Some of the trail work is going to be featured in this discussion. So we developed the Uber List, a capital improvement project list of all the projects that had to do with trails and connections, connectivity and such that relate to our street networks and our off-street trail system. And so this list, of course, is a list that will be funded in a rolling six-year CIP allocation in the city, through which is managed by the engineering department. And to orient this sort of structural funding mechanism, the CIP, towards walkability is a real achievement if it can be done. And we're working out how that adheres and builds the vision. Because without the vision, this plan would serve streets, mostly. So these next set of slides are showing different street classes and both the existing connections and those connections which are not yet made in red. So in this case, this is arterial streets, our largest class street. You can see the gaps in red. And in this one, collectors, this next class down, quite a bit. You know, you could almost say as much of the sidewalks are missing than are present. The city is in white. The gray area adjoining the white portions are either unincorporated Washington County or other cities. And in particular, we're going to visit the upper right-hand corner where you see a gap there and the red. That's all, that gap in there is Washington County, right up here. But it's in our urban services area, so we will be serving it eventually, just like we will be serving this area, our urban service area also. Our urban growth boundary is right here. Otherwise, we've got Beaverton, Tualatin, King City, Lake Oswego, and Portland, unincorporated Washington County, again. So this is the neighborhood route, which is sort of a workhorse network, and still lots of red in this network. But the green dots are where the schools are. So it's particularly problematic to not have good sidewalks next to schools. And you can see how there are quite a few areas that are next to schools which are all mostly red. And it's disconcerting, and we have a program to address that. This is our trail system, existing trails, and the portions of the regional trails that aren't yet built. And here's the completed network with the built and unbuilt together. This is both sidewalks on streets and trails. And this is the gaps, all pedestrian gaps. So you'll see the scale of this. And here are some trails that are in the hilly parts of the city. I wanted to go back because I think there's this detail here, complete pedestrian system with all 34 miles, $118 million. It's hard to get $118 million. So this is a long-term prospect. Here you can see some of the, these drainages here indicate that this is our Bull Mountain, and the drainages have trails in them like this one and this one and this one. So we have a network of trails and the connectors, these little minor things that connect streets where the topography or other circumstances don't allow the streets to connect. We still get the connections. So trail connectors, some photographic examples where this is good. The street comes to an end. There's a natural area beyond where the street will never go, but this pathway is a boardwalk. This is well done. It's wide. It has a sidewalk attached to it. And this is a good bridge, well served by the sidewalk leading to it. But these examples are the problems we face. In this case, there's a right-of-way, but there's no trail there. There's a demand path, and fixing and providing, improving these sorts of access is our key to our program. And there There's another couple of examples. And this is a fail. You can't get through, so it doesn't count. So before I go on, I just want to remember, mention the City Council established a $200,000 fund to fund a program called Lighter, Quicker, Cheaper. And the idea behind that was, if there are those kinds of connections which are marginal and not safe, then we should be able to not have them on a CIP program and rotate through a six-year cycle and get to them eventually if we really prioritize this work. So the Lighter, Quicker, Cheaper Fund enables a project manager, I've done maybe half a dozen of them, to identify the project and draw from those funds whenever you can get to that and prioritize it in your work plan. I'll show you an example of it in a bit. So Tigard's downtown has a main street. It was kind of, and if you remember, if you know, who here knows anything about Tigard? Who have been there and sort of knows how it is laid out? Just a few, maybe half of you. Okay. So Pacific Highway went through and in the 40s and 50s, and so the remnant Main Street is sort of a charming place, but it's only one block deep on one side. It's a nice place. It has our only historical structures, really, and older buildings. So it lends itself and can claim the downtown character for Tigard. And so we've got an urban renewal area associated with that, and it has good transit. It's largely unredeveloped yet, and we're making inroads in that. This is a vision for how our downtown can develop. This is the main street right here. This is Pacific Highway coming through. 217 is up here. And so really, you'll see that this street has been improved. The capital project, Main Street, has been improved. There's a building I'll show you in a second that's built right next to the park in this area. And Main Street has a revitalization program. The whole district has an urban renewal capacity of $20 million here, as it says, over the next 20 years. This is an example of, on the bottom, Burnham, which is almost a mile long, and it was done about 6 years ago. It's in great shape. Also, Main Street, we have lots of landscaping and water quality facilities and artwork associated with our downtown. So creating places to go is as important as providing ways to get there. And then, of course, how you program those places and how comfortable they feel are important things. So we're building not just connections, but destinations. And these two districts of downtown and later the Tigard Triangle are part of Tigard's town center under Metro's 2040 plan. So even though they're separate districts, they're almost joined at the hip there, and together are being developed as a town center, which means dense, pedestrian-oriented, and connected. Main Street stores, these are facelifts that property owners wouldn't have made the improvements without the grants from the city. This is our new $31 million market rate housing. It's the first one in downtown of some size, and it has leased up very quickly, came online last year. This is our Fano Creek, our famed Fano Creek, which gives downtown its park. And this is Main Street going over Fano. This property is city property, these three buildings here. And that's a site that will be redeveloped probably next year. And here's the demolition of those buildings and the rough grading this last summer. You can see Pacific Highway is right here. Main Street is here. And so it's rare to have a property like this in the middle of a downtown right next to the creek. So it's a highly desirable site. I think development agreement with the city and the prospective developer is imminent right now. This is a characterization of that site, which was used for the land use decision that we used to approve it. Here's the creek, of course, Main Street in a more elaborate way, and the development site itself, the green space of the creek. Tiger Triangle is 320 acres, and it is defined. By I-5 on the east, Pacific Highway in the north, and 217 on the south. Downtown area is right over here. So this is the Tiger Triangle District Plan showing commercial development in red and mixed-use development in blue. And these hatches are 4- and 6-story buildings. So you can see this whole area in blue is a 4- and 6-story buildings at build-out, and that will create a density, a critical mass. And we, in our new plan, our code focuses on the public realm, the streets, and making that a high-class city asset, and cares less about what the market will develop there, as long as the streets are adequate, comfortable, safe, and connected. That's what we care most about. Also, a distinguishing feature about this district plan is that we do not have any parking minimum requirements. The parking maximum is still dictated by Metro, but the city doesn't care about parking as long as you can't see it. It has to be screened, buried, covered, whatever, from the street. So there won't be any open parking lots to this area. It will all be very, and that being a bad thing for pedestrians, the market will decide how much parking to put there. So that's a fairly forward-thinking way to approach density, and a plan we call Lean Code District, which if you build here according to the standards, you do not need to go through land use. You just go to the building to get a building permit, and that's a fairly lean process. So we hope. And also it's designed to allow all kinds of development. Someone has a house, they want to use it for a coffee shop. Uses of all kinds are allowed, less discriminatory. Incremental design development is encouraged to get things going sooner rather than later. There was a prior Tiger Triangle development code done in 1997, and very few things got built during that time. So we feel that this now is probably much more ripe than it was then. And hopefully there's 4 or 5 projects which will probably be breaking ground in the next year or two. So transform the triangle into an active urban multimodal place. This is what we want to avoid. And what you're seeing here is very familiar. Costco, a Walmart, and a Winco, and a Toys R Us, I think. And all this parking, I can quantify some of this in the triangle, where those big boxes were here, Costco, Walmart, and still have a commercial zone. The rest of this is the mixed-use zone. And you can see that in the triangle and then the urban renewal area, the urban renewal area is different and it includes Pacific Highway on this north side, but within the triangle, 327 acres, there's, I can't even read that from here. I'll give you a sense of how much the current development pattern favors the automobile. In 327 acres in the triangle, 10,000 parking spaces, 120 acres in parking footprint, and 31 acres in building footprint. So you can see how that is sort of a massive nod to the car in the triangle today. And this is an indication, this is a snapshot of the southern portion of the triangle where you can see here the building footprints within seas of parking. So in this portion of the triangle, the southern tip, at 11 a.m., you know, a time of day when, on a Tuesday, when everyone should be in their parking stall working at their desk, in a fairly well-developed portion of the Tiger Triangle now, in the 90s, 2000s, there was an actual parking ratio of 2.13, but it was built out as a 4.3 ratio. So there's only 50% utilization of the current parking there and 10 acres of unused parking fields. So this is our current case in which we want to avoid, of course, that in our outer area, but we want to encourage this kind of density and this kind of development pattern in the triangle. And this is the Tiger Triangle's connectivity plan. I talked a little bit about, you can see we have a fairly well-defined grid work, but we're going to extend that down here into the big box area when those portions redevelop. And we have trails, these lines here, that are both existing and with the Walmart site, with the Lowe's site. And then this one is being built right now, which connects to the Lake Oswego Regional Trail at the corner here. So we're going to be continuing that regional trail through here. And just as a fun fact, you may have heard of the Southwest Corridor Light Rail project, which TriMet's last spoke in their hub and spoke system is coming out through Tiger to Tualatin. And where that would be coming into Tiger is right here under Pacific Highway and down 70th and then over Elmhurst, over 217 to downtown, which is right here, and then south to Bridgeport. So the triangle plays a big role in the future of Southwest Corridor if that actually is successful at the ballot in 2020. I talked about the public realm and streets, what we care about. This is a pedestrian-friendly street, as you can imagine, with the bulb outs here shortening the distance across the street, landscaping, a furnishing zone, on-street parking, which basically creates some protection from pedestrians and the street. I spoke a bit about mixed-use zoning, the lean form of our approach, small-scale incremental development strategies, street improvements, and urban renewal and tax abatement are two other funding mechanisms to underwrite the public improvements that we want to see in the Tiger Triangle. And lastly, this is Safe Routes to Schools. It's a national program, but the city is taking it seriously. All the planners, including myself, are assigned to an elementary school, so there's some continuity in the city's involvement in each school. And there is graph here shows that years ago, 45% of folks would walk to school, but now a little bit more than that, drive to school. So we've got a serious problem going in the wrong direction. Pictures of the mayor leading a walk train on one of the schools. These are ways that this program creates safe routes to schools, and we're involved in a number of them, engineering in particular, where we identify through a work plan places where we can provide sidewalk infill, make it safer for kids to go to school. Metzger, this is my school. Part of the work plan is mapping out safe routes and then making maps and so forth so people are aware of them, can use them. The action plan is the document that sort of carries the cities and the schools' relationship together through time and is a working document as things change. This is an example of the Lighter, Quicker, Cheaper program, the $200,000 allocation the City Council made, where this was the existing condition, just a street ended, and there's blackberries here. There was a demand path through the blackberries, wonderful blackberries, by the way. And this is after, of course, when the City Public Works sort of cleared out the blackberries, put in this path here in this section of it. The blackberries are all located in this area here, and we're looking back the other way. And a fence was put up for an adjacent property owner. So this is, and we need to buy some right-of-way here also. So it was a kind of involved to do it, but it's had remarkable results. Education, encouragement under Safe Routes to Schools. Some lessons in the strategic plan. There's an art to writing the vision statement. I mentioned earlier on that the hyperbolic statement of being the most walkable captures most people's attention, but there's a lot more in the second half of the vision, which is where people of all ages and abilities enjoy healthy and interconnected lives. So that sort of lifestyle change, that purpose to be healthy and interconnected, creating a cultural environment, is where more of the non-engineering stuff happens, where there are programming and other things that, and destinations that I talked about earlier are created, and how those things bring community together. Once you've established those connections, where do you go? And so I guess looking back after 4 years, we probably may have constructed it differently, just so that the focus stayed in the most meaningful part. Even though most walkable, it has a real ambition to it that serves a purpose. You know, it is a visionary statement. But there's even some question about whether all ages and abilities is sufficiently inclusive. It doesn't talk about diversity, really. So that may be another part of the vision statement that could have been or may be reconsidered. I don't know if there's a plan for that. Well, implementation is difficult. Rigor is required. You've got, a half a dozen departments at the city. One of the benefits of a plan like this, it should orient all the departments to work together. And when you have that sort of unifying vision, it makes it much easier to cooperate, and there's a reason to cooperate more regularly. And I found personally doing the Lighter, Quicker, Cheaper projects that it has served to make access between departments stronger and therefore more effective. But the implementation is like you're changing a culture in the city, within the city, in order to do this and lead this effort. So that's a chore, but we can work with it in that closed environment. But still, there are budget exigencies and other things that always are pulling at that unified approach. Identify milestones from the beginning. I think the leadership team, I'm not on the leadership team, but they have to grapple with this on an ongoing basis. Are we doing enough? How do we know when we're successful? If we have an a vision that's 20 years out, and how do we know what incremental success is? And without those measures, then they find themselves sort of at sea about that. And whereas if you had these milestones at the beginning, you could measure it more usefully. I'd be happy to take questions from the commission and the audience, if you have.
Well, great. And so thank you, Gary. That was fantastic. Does the commission have any questions first? Gary's hand shot up.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that very much. Let me ask you a little bit. I'm not real familiar with your city. How active is your business community? You have a downtown business association, for example, and are they out front? And to be honest, could they do more in this whole project as far as strategic plan and providing leadership?
Yes, the downtown is organized. They have one very active member who's their leader that has been incredibly effective, who is an arts person. He's a caterer. His business has him, you know, out and being a connector anyway. So he's been very, and it is a partner of the city. In the redevelopment manager routinely reports and presents to them. Of course, they're not a unified group. You know, I mean, they have an association, but it's not often that they are really rising to the occasion and leading some of the development efforts. But they've been responsive to the street facade improvements project over the years that we've had it, maybe 10 years. And they are now intimately involved. The Rotary is another group that's involved in our rail-to-trail conversion right downtown. And it's going to be a Rotary Plaza named after them for their contributions. So there is it's an important group, and it contributes regularly. Yes.
Thank you.
Other questions? Donna?
Whoops. Thank you very much. I used to live in Lake Oswego, and I'm comparing the two communities there, and I have a question. What percent of the residents work in Tigard at this time? Because I know other cities, the residents seem to go away and then come back.
Tigard is fairly, I think, unique about that in our region, where we have a lot of people that work in Tigard from other places, and a lot of Tigard works in other places in the region as well. There's a real, almost, I think it's one-to-one.
Would you say half of the residents work in Tigard? I'm trying to get a sense.
I think that's a fair number. I should say half of the jobs in Tigard are served by Tigard residents, half from other areas of the region. Mm-hmm. Right. So half of Tigard residents go to other places in the region to work.
And you obviously want to go up rather than have individual housing so much in the future. Will those be mixed ages? Are you preparing to have facilities built so seniors can easily get in and out?
Well, the Triangle has a site that is going to be developed as a senior housing, and that's going to be five-story building right on the center of the Triangle. So we see the markets responding for that, a vertical senior housing rather than just the two-story or one-story retirement communities. So that's a good thing. And your other question was?
And one other question, you answered that one. Central cities are easy to manipulate with dollars eventually, but do you have areas outside that are still in the city that don't have easy access to public transportation?
Most of Tigard does not have easy access to public transportation.
That's
and
a real issue.
So we have just, there's a couple of things. We've just in the middle of redeveloping 500 acres on our western frontier called River Terrace along Roy Rogers Road. And just at the time when we were getting into downtown revitalization, the council, you know, with the county said, okay, we're going to go out the frontier, and that was easy politically because developers love to develop single-family housing. That's their model. And that serves a certain population. So the city really spent an enormous amount of resources over the last 8 years bringing that to market. And now it's about half built out. It's a juggernaut with Polygon Homes building those homes. But there's no public transportation out there at all. It just is what it is. It's a classic suburban expansion. The only reason I like coming to work is because we have this, we have the alternative also that we're trying to build in the Triangle and downtown. That's what make that. Those are our urban, suburban areas, our town center communities. Those are our. I think your first part of your question was: is there funding? There's a tool. Our urban renewal areas on each of those are in downtown. Capacity for that is 20 million, but the capacity in the Triangle is about 186 million of tax increment financing that will be available for the public facilities and such. And that, in terms of transportation, light rail, if it comes, will be a central transit-oriented design public facility improvement mechanism.
Okay, thank you. Excellent. Marjorie?
One of my questions was about the budget and how much you projected, and are you within budget, and will you be done by 2036 when you're supposed to?
That's a renewal date, you know, I'm sure, and maybe a chance to, you know, rewrite the vision. Well, we don't have that measure that you're asking. That was one of the other things where we, you know, we're short of. We don't have that measure. We don't know just how far. And I'm sorry, not being in the engineering department, I don't actually have the figures about how many gaps we've filled under this program either. We have enough that to we're using our capacity to do these things. We're not hiring more staff or allocating outside of our CIP to accomplish these things. We're fairly financially constrained, responsible, but constrained nevertheless. So I think you'll find that the urban renewal area monies will be doing most of the heavy lifting for the Triangle and downtown in the years ahead.
Okay. Chuck, did you have?
But Amy's.
We'll come down to this end later.
Me? Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate the discussion presentation. I have a couple of questions. I know Oregon, among other communities, has been struggling with converting to ADA-compliant wheelchair ramps, and that's a big part of a number of budgets. I didn't see a discussion about that, but I'm assuming it's a big part of this plan. The walkability plan is to retrofit intersections with wheelchair ramps that meet current standards. Can you?
Yeah, the engineering department has funded a plan to do the survey of where we're compliant and where we're not. That's imminent. So we identify that as a barrier to break, and certainly as our vision states, this is an all abilities walkability program. So that is being addressed.
Is that part of the $200,000?
No.
Is that annual? Besides that?
Yeah, that's part of the city's general fund and street monies that will be allocated to that. So it's the main capital improvement project budget that will address that issue.
Okay.
It would be a much bigger number than the $200,000. So
yeah,
different pot of money.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Marion?
Thanks, Gary. I'm wondering, with your strategic plan goals, the one that really caught my eye was engage the community through dynamic communication. Can you tell me how you implement that dynamic communication? What's been your greatest success?
I was reading this through the bullet points underneath it just to see what are we doing for that? And you can imagine how dynamic implementation of a vision like this is when staff changes and leadership changes and you know there's a certain amount of dynamism happening around implementation to begin with, and these bullet points aren't very helpful in determining what it is we're actually doing. So I do know that we have a website that features the strategic plan, so there's information available there. We have a newsletter which people can subscribe to, an electronic newsletter, which features it also. We have had ice cream socials in successive summers to go out and actually be in the neighborhoods, to stand there giving out ice cream as an incentive to have a conversation about this where normally you wouldn't have access. So I think that the leadership team makes an effort to talk it up in whatever forums that they are in. I think they've also had some problems settling on what's the most effective communication methodology for this. But we continue to do programs and improvements, and these things are advertised. And so hopefully we're building an understanding and awareness of limitations and the benefits of the vision incrementally.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission?
I have another question. Your title is Connecting People and Places. Obviously, one of the important ways to do that is to have sidewalks and curbs and bike paths that you mentioned. In terms of your prioritizing, where do the curbs and sidewalks come in terms of all the stuff you're trying to do?
Well, I'm not involved in setting the CIP priorities. I'm not in that process. So I don't know firsthand what it would be. But it relates also, we have the Uber list, which I had a slide about. So we have, we know what the set of things that we can do, and we know their variable costs and difficulty of achieving them. And we apply for grants for some of these projects, and when the grant comes in, then it becomes a priority because we have funding for it. The lighter, quicker, cheaper projects are kind of ad hoc. Anyone can propose them, citizens or staff or others, and they can get done fairly quickly, but the cost of those is in the $2,000 to $10,000 range. So sometimes they can be critically important, but they aren't doing the majority of the sidewalk infills. So it's problematic since Tigard has some roads that are owned by ODOT in Washington County. If you have a collaboration like that, that makes it more challenging because the funding streams are mixed potentially and the timelines aren't your own. So in answer to your question, it's difficult to really say what the priorities are. We do have funding for right now from, I think, regional funding through Metro for a major infill of Thano Creek Regional Trail. That's been a high priority. Now we have funding for that. So we're taking care of some of the big pieces. And I personally am involved in the Red Rock Creek Trail, which is the main trail through the natural area in the Triangle. Where that's a line on a map right now. The urban renewal funding will probably fund parts of that, but we've gone through a ground-truthing alignment recently, so we know where that is, which properties it affects. We still need to develop the design standards for that trail through the Triangle. That trail, if it meets up with Fano Creek Regional Trail, has to go through an area between the two districts that doesn't have any planning yet. It's not in any of those planning documents I showed you, but I'm charting that out. And the city of Tigard is nothing if not a city of barriers and railroads, major highways, the creek itself, the topography. So there are expensive things that haven't been done. So big money is going to be necessary in some of them. I'm working on a pedestrian crossing over the railroad yard to connect Fanner Creek Regional Trail with the future Red Rock Creek Trail. So that's and my methodology for that is to make it privately funded mostly and through system development charges through development. And so that's kind of a new model, but it's an example of how you have to cobble together funding streams and be opportunistic with development to get some of these things done.
Chuck?
I have one other question. You mentioned the Southwest Corridor, and I was project manager for C-TRAN for the Vine Bus Rapid Transit project here, and one of the big request items was how we're going to get people to and from the stations, because the sidewalk infrastructure in Vancouver on the side streets is really not that good. There's a lot of, there's no sidewalks. Has that discussion come up with TriMet on the Southwest Corridor about how you're going to get walk and bike connections to those rail stations?
Yes, it has. Tigard has five of the stations planned for it, two in the Triangle and one in downtown and two south along a railroad alignment before it meets Tualatin. It's a very good question because if you have your first station, for example, is at 68th and Pacific Highway, right at the top of the Triangle. So Pacific Highway is one of the densest traveled highways in the state at that point. And if you can't cross it well, safely, comfortably, then you only have a station area serving half the side it's on. So connectivity to the station across another barrier like that is critical to its success. And I've made that, I'm the urban design team lead for Southwest Corridor. I've made that point in particular, and there is an understanding in the TriMet, of course, to provide these connections. But Tigard's station areas are problematic in doing that. So lots of work to be done, but it's definitely highest on our list for making sure that it does get done. Thank you for bringing it up.
We have time for questions from the audience. Any of you?
Well, let's see. I've worked for the city for 14 years, and when I started working, it was population 46,000. I think we're 51,000 now. So I don't know what rate of growth that is. It's moderate. It's not like other parts of Washington County. We don't have large employers really that would tend to boost that, but we do have steady growth. So it's a growing city. And we have our fair share of seniors. I think if I use the development as a gauge for that, I review proposals against the development code, and in 14 years I've had probably four senior places come through, and other planners have had a couple. So there's regular senior housing development in Tigard. What we call the Sea of Yellow, which is most of Tigard, not the commercial strip along Pacific Highway, not these two urbanizing areas that we're talking about. Pretty much the rest of it is the Sea of Yellow, which is the color of the low density residential zone. And you would think that a community that was, a lot of these houses were built in the 50s to 70s, that most of those owners, if they're still there, are going to be in the aging community population soon, if not already. So if they're aging in place, that becomes the test of, can we get these sidewalks in for them to get around. The senior center itself is by the downtown campus. The the City Hall campus. It's close to the library also, but to get there you need a car. And you saw the state of our walking mobility is like 50%. So it's a challenge now.
Any other questions? All right.
I have one more.
Marion has one more.
Yes.
All right. This is a follow-up on Chuck's question with the downtown sidewalks being in disrepair, heaved by tree roots, and very unsafe, particularly for people that aren't as able-bodied as others. So how do you handle that? And Tiger, does the city go out and fix the sidewalks, or do they compel the property owners to do so?
It is the property owner's frontage responsibility, yes. And where we can redo a whole street, we'll do that. Like in the downtown, our main streets of Burnham and Main Street itself, we've redone those completely. And there are streets where there aren't sidewalks, that might be a mile long. We have a program to like do the whole mile because we have money to do that, identified in the CIP. But I think, I'm not sure we have as much of a problem about the street trees. There are cases where that's an issue, but they're not old neighborhoods like Portland's that have large mature trees that might be heaving that weren't designed as urban trees, you know, and do that kind of damage. We have a well-developed urban forestry plan which stipulates, you know, what kinds of trees can be planted in the public realm. Part of that has to do with minimizing the kind of damage you're talking about. So prospectively, we hope to avoid that condition, and we're sort of young enough to not have it as a legacy, generally.
All right, I think we'll let you off the hot seat now. Gary, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed that.
And we have a little bit of business left, some new business and announcements. On October 16th, our series continues at 4:30 here. We're going to hear from Matt Herman, a planner with Clark County, about planning for mobility needs, finding effective ways to meet the transportation needs of the increasing numbers of older residents will be critical for our local governments. We're going to learn more about what goes into planning for all modes of transportation and how we can improve the mobility options for seniors who want to remain independent as long as possible. Matt Herman is a transportation planner with Clark County, and he's going to describe how multiple modes of transportation, biking, walking, vehicles, and buses, are planned for locally to meet the needs for present and future populations. He will also discuss the county's transportation successes and challenges. And that's next month on the 16th. And we do have some time for public comment, if anyone would like to come to the mic and give us some public comment. All right, well, is it related to the Commission on Aging? Okay, then.
I'm Rachel Brooks, and I'm an elder law attorney, and I volunteer with Southwest Washington Elder Abuse Prevention, and they have a free seminar series, and their third one is next Tuesday. It's free. If anybody here is a social worker, you're going to get credits if you come to it, but you have to RSVP, and I just wanted to say this one is on healthcare assessment and intervention, and features Dr. Maharg and also Nurse Buckland.
So awesome. Thank you, Rachel. Anybody else? All right. Well, with that, thank you for being here, and we are adjourned.